Greetings, dear friends. The Great Awakening continues, and the exposure of darkness to light is occurring at an unprecedented rate. Stunning and startling. Thousands are awakening to the sense of their awful situation every day throughout the world, and are seeing with perfect clarity the evil that exists among us and has been directing our lives, all of our lives. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for providing us with scripture that pertains exclusively to our day, that we might see and discern by the power of the Holy Ghost that which is taking place and not be deceived. There is only one scripture in all of Holy Writ that I'm aware of that gives us the formula to move forward in the day of deception and remain steadfastly upon the straight and narrow path. The scripture is found in Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verses 56 and 57. It would be well for us to have this scripture be our watchword for this day and the future coming days prior to the advent of the Lord. Verse 56, "And at that day when I shall come in my glory," that's the second coming, "shall the parable be fulfilled which I spake concerning the 10 virgins." Verse 57, here's the formula. "For they that are wise and have, number one, received the truth, and number two, and have taken the Holy Spirit for their guide, and because of this, have not been deceived." There's your key. "Verily I say unto you, they shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire," here we go, "but shall abide the day." What day? Well, the day verse 56 is talking about, when it says, "at that day when I shall come in my glory." Notice the two key ingredients for remaining in a state of grace, walking upon the straight and narrow path, is to receive the truth and to take the Holy Spirit for our guide. There is only one way to receive and discern truth according to Scripture, and that is found in Moroni chapter 10, verse 5. "And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of," look at this, "all things." In our daily walk here below, having condescended down into a telestial world, a veiled estate, it is critical that in our path we eventually come to the place where we learn how to walk by the Spirit of the Lord, being guided and directed by His holy light, and to receive the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, which will reveal to us all truth, give us knowledge and understanding, and endow us with wisdom. Obtaining this great light in our life is done line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, a process that requires us to act using our moral agency and to receive witnesses through the power of the Holy Ghost concerning the path that we're treading and our standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ones. This can only be done by practice, practice, practice. This work of practicing can be arduous, and it becomes easy to slip into the trap of letting others do our thinking for us. We must use all resources available to us in this world and learn through experience that which is good and that which is evil, that which is of the light and that which is of darkness, that which is right and that which is wrong. It is right that we should pass through sorrow that we might learn the good from the evil. But we need to confirm all things that we hear, whether they are true or not, by the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the only divine promise that we have in Scripture of knowing all truth. Everything in this world is learned by increments. All truth is not received from the Lord at once. It is dispensed as we ask, seek, and knock in wisdom and perfect knowledge to the degree that would be best for us in any situation. The influence of the Holy Spirit mentioned in verse 57, which can be interpreted as the light of Christ and the Holy Ghost, two different sources of light in this world. Depending on the content and context of how the term is used within the scriptural verse, even the Holy Ghost's influence comes upon us by degree, beginning as a testifier of initial truth to the truth seeker, and passing all the way through, upward, and emerging into something the Lord refers to in Doctrine and Covenants, section 109, verse 15, as the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Quote, "And that they may grow up in thee," notice the growth in increments, "and receive a fullness of the Holy Ghost, and be organized according to thy laws, and be prepared to obtain every needful thing." The Lord God Almighty has obtained all that he has through this very same process. DNC 109, verse 77, speaks of this, quote, "O Lord God Almighty, hear us in these our petitions and answer us from heaven, thy holy habitation, where thou sittest enthroned with glory, honor, power, majesty, might, dominion, truth, justice, judgment, mercy," watch this right here, "and an infinity of fullness from everlasting to everlasting." All of those elements mentioned in that verse, which are possessed in their infinite fullness by Almighty God, were obtained line upon line, here a little, there a little, in telestial world schoolhouses. They have gone before us, and we are following in their footsteps. What a beautiful, wonderful day in which to be upon the earth. We should praise our Father and Mother in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ for the privilege of being here at this time and witnessing the final events of this earth's mortal life as she prepares to ascend from a telestial and emerge into a terrestrial estate. All that we are witnessing right now, each and every day, are the labor pains of that ascension and rebirth. The child born of this birth is Zion. Our focus as the Lord's covenant children should be fixed steadfastly on the coming forth and establishment of Zion and the building of the New Jerusalem, which must take place before the coming of her King. It is our high privilege and honor to be enlisted in this cause and trusted by them to be faithful and true in bringing the great Latter-day Zion forth. The Lord has defined that Zion in Moses chapter 7, verse 18. Now, this verse was referring to the great Zion of Enoch's day, but that Zion is the prototype for the latter-day Zion. So the words of this verse apply to us in our day. Quote, "And the Lord called his people Zion, because they were of one heart and one mind, and dwelt in righteousness, and there was no poor among them. I've quoted this scripture hundreds of times and taught the principle of Zion as much as I understood from this scripture for decades, but it wasn't until recently that the Lord taught me some deeper meanings of this scripture and the latter-day Zion, and I felt impressed to share these things with you. As always, I would invite you to seek for the Lord's confirmation and additional witnesses by the power of the Holy Ghost, whether that which I speak today is true or not. This is the only sure way. Around the first of this year, as I was praying and pondering and meditating upon this subject of Zion, the Lord taught me that the mind mentioned in Moses 7 verse 18 is the physical body, and that the heart mentioned in that same verse is our spirit, and that there are divisions, obstacles, blockages, scales, and veils that keep the spirit and the physical body in a state of division and separation, and that the Lord wants these two to become one in perfect unity, peace, and harmony. Now notice back to verse 18, when the Lord calls his people Zion, because, watch this, they were of one heart and one mind. We obtain a Zion status when we are able to overcome this division between our Holy Spirit and our physical body and bring them into perfect unity and oneness. When that happens, then we dwell in righteousness and there is no poor among us. We'll discuss those two things further in just a moment. I have found out that my spirit has been hidden from my consciousness by a veil. I have not been aware of the divinity and the holiness of my own spirit being. It is my Holy Spirit. My spirit was conceived from the love of God, my Holy Father and Holy Mother. I am of them. I am love. Within my spirit lies all of the knowledge, understanding, and experience of eternity. I only need to uncover this hidden, holy person who resides deep within my physical structure, my physical tabernacle, my temple body. And so it is with each one of us. How do we begin the process in Christ through his infinite atonement to unify the body and the spirit in order to become Zion? May I suggest that holy, sincere prayer is the sacred place to begin. Most people pray from the reasoning of their minds and the emotions of their physical being. I began by asking my spirit, as I knelt in prayer before I addressed God, to direct and guide the prayer. I asked for my mortal mind to step back and allow my spirit to lead the prayer. I wanted to experience the prayer of my whole soul and begin to communicate from the spirit source inside me and not just from my mind and physical being. I have found out that after a while, this becomes automatic and all of my prayers are from my spirit's center. The moment will come when your physical being will need to completely surrender any control so that you can pray from the spirit in the center of your soul. Pray for this surrender to take place by asking the Lord to help you. Staying with these efforts have been sweet, and the fruits obvious. Inviting my spirit to guide my prayers is an invitation for that spirit to come forward, uncovered, unveiled, and work in a holy partnership with my physical being to be unified and become Zion, one heart and one mind, and to dwell in righteousness. In this state of Zion, there will be no poor among them, meaning that nothing is lacking. Zion begins with the individual, one heart, which is centered in my spirit, and one mind, which is centered in my physical body. And when these two work in this holy partnership, the mind and the emotions surrendering to the Lord Jesus and becoming one with the Spirit, the result is Zion. This then moves out from the individual and begins the formation of a society. The establishment of Zion begins within the heart and the mind of an individual man or woman, one by one. To dwell in righteousness means to have the constant guidance and flow of holiness, divine truth, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding through the power of the Holy Ghost, and to always choose right. To be in a state of righteousness is to choose right. I pondered on what it meant there was no poor among them. And earlier, I had envisioned there were no beggars on the street, there were no homeless, there were no shelters. But the impression came for me to change the word poor into poverty. There was no poverty among them. And as I pondered that, the impression came to change the word poverty into want, W-A-N-T. Because another meaning for poverty is to be in want. So if we dwell in righteousness and there's no poor, poverty, or want in us, we lack for nothing. And this righteousness and this lacking for nothing comes because the mind and the heart, the body and the spirit have been brought together in perfect unity and oneness in Christ through his marvelous atonement, and we are now Zion. Again, I know that there is something very holy, very advanced, vastly experienced, which resides and abides in each one of us. Little children, before they begin to become accountable, still have that holiness, knowledge, and understanding about them. And for many, there is no veil. Perhaps you, as I have experienced little children sharing things almost too sacred to be uttered because their spirit and their body are at that stage in their development in perfect unity. And there is no veil. This is the place the Lord wants us to return to, Zion. Try a little experiment. The next time you kneel down to pray, ask your Holy Spirit, which is inside you, to guide and direct the words of your prayer. Then ask the Lord Jesus to stand beside you and receive to him those things which you desire to surrender, which keep you in a state of division and separation, any blockages, any obstacles, any scales of darkness, false traditions, precepts of men, twisted truth, and veils. Ask that he take those from you as you surrender them to him, and that they be replaced with submission, meekness, humility, patience, love unfeigned, the mighty love of God, and the pure love of Christ. I invite you to do as Alma invited us to do in his great lecture on faith. Alma 32, verse 27. Behold, if you will awake and arouse your faculties, right here, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if you can no more than desire to believe, then let this desire work in you, even until ye can believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words. Verse 28, now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, remember when we're talking about the heart, we're talking about the spirit. Behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, ye will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good. For it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me. I invite you to apply Alma's invitation to what we have discussed in this podcast. On Sunday, January 31st, I asked the Lord the following question. As I have followed closely the unfolding events throughout 2020 and now into 2021 concerning the exposure of evil and the awakening of Father's children, it appears as though everything that is happening is moving toward a wonderful fulfillment when evil will be exposed and vanquished. Captives, especially women and children, will be liberated, and that we will return to constitutional principles that will bless all of mortal mankind. It looks as though America will return to the world as the shining light upon a hill. Yet how can this be and fulfill the signs of the latter days, gruesome, frightful happenings that remove large numbers of the earth's population quickly and violently? I know you have said that there can be no birth of Zion in the midst of national prosperity and pride. Can you bless me with additional light and knowledge concerning this thing? And the Lord said, you know that I have said nothing about America returning to a state of ease and prosperity. America has fulfilled its divine mission and for that which it was ordained and commissioned. The eternal principles embodied within the Constitution will be rescued and preserved by a reserved remnant largely unknown to the larger population. These messengers will use the fullness of the Melchizedek priesthood after the holy order of the sun to miraculously preserve and protect these inspired documents and eternal principles to be used in the establishment and governing of Zion and the New Jerusalem. The separation of the wheat and the tares is upon you, and you will witness the fulfillment of this parable in the coming months. This separation fulfills the scripture found in 2 Nephi 30, verse 10. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. And also in Doctrine and Covenants, section 63, verse 54. And until that hour there will be foolish virgins among the wise. And at that hour cometh an entire separation of the righteous from the wicked. And in that day will I send mine angels to pluck out the wicked and cast them into unquenchable fire. Unquote. As I have said previously, the division, this separation, will begin after the great Passover of 2021. The cleansing, arising, ascending, renewal, revival, and a new birth can only take place through blood, pain, and tears. But fear not. The purpose and the end thereof is glorious and will bless all of the Father's children, both those who remain and those who are ushered away. Remember that all of this is to bless and lift each child from where they are at the time when their, quote, day of this life, unquote, ends. It is all another step in the eternal progression of the children of our Holy Mother and our Holy Father. God wipes away all tears. Evil will not be completely vanquished and removed from the earth during these days. That will only take place when I come in my glory. All of this is nearer than most suppose, and will take the vast majority by surprise. Noah is the eternal pattern. Receive the truth, take the Holy Spirit for your guide, and you will abide the day and not be deceived. May we accept wholeheartedly the invitation given by President Nelson for us to seek after, obtain, recognize, and heed personal revelation. For surely, without that personal revelation to each of us individually, intimately, and specifically, we will not survive the days that are coming. Believe as a little child. Repent every day. Cultivate the gift and presence and companionship of the Holy Ghost until it becomes a mighty flow of truth, understanding, light, and wisdom. And all will be well with us as we navigate these great, marvelous, wonderful, and terrible days, is my prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.